Hey, everybody, this is Renee from The Space Between, and you are listening to The Space Between Podcast, the show that lets you listen to how the fans feel about the music, the art behind over 30 years of the Dave Matthews Band. Stay tuned. Hey, guys, welcome to another episode of The Space Between Podcast. The podcast where we talk about the fans of the Dave Matthews Band. The Dave Matthews Band is celebrating 33 years of music in 2024. And with 33 years of music, they have accumulated thousands of fans who are still listening to their music, whether they have just found the Dave Matthews Band in 2023, 2024, or if they found them in 1991, everyone's story of how they found the band is different. And so this week and every week, I bring to you a different fan of the Dave Matthews Band to share in their journey of how they found the music. So this week, I want to introduce to you Breezy. Breezy, thank you so much for being on the show. Can you tell us who you are, where you are, and where you first heard of the Dave Matthews Band?
So I'm Breezy Dubkowski, Charleston, South Carolina, about 30 plus shows in. First time I heard Dave, when it became significant, is actually different than what you asked, is Crash, the song. Way back in the day, my thing is how the lyrics change. So Crash was, good Lord, 2003, 2004, and a song that I was listening to religiously because I loved it. And then my son got into a car accident when he was 6 years old and airlifted, and I couldn't listen to the song for years.
Oh my gosh.
And then now it's like he's 26 years old. So it is one of those things that of how the lyrics change for you. And that was what I wrote to you about, how things change and how it makes everything, if it's been a part of your life, whether new or not, how the lyrics change and what they mean differently to you at different points in your life. Now when I hear Crash, it's a huge celebration. But for years, I couldn't listen to that song. But
so I definitely want to tap into that a little bit. Because, that's how you and I connected, was I just simply posted a Facebook thing saying, hey, you know, if this band or its lyrics have changed your life, let me know. And so that's definitely how you and I connected. So kind of tell us, like, where was it that you heard them for the first time, and what was it that made you kind of tune into their music? What was it about them?
It was just, first of all, just the difference. I grew up with a brother who was a self-taught musician. So when they kind of came on the scene, you know, way back in the day, it was just, I don't know who gave me the first CD, but I think it might've been my brother. I have no idea. It just, the differenceness of the tone and everything that was going on. And I just fell in love with Under the Table and Dreaming. Like, I played it. It was nonstop in my car. All of it. I just fell in love with all of it. When I had young children, I just was like, they just resonated. All the lyrics always resonated.
Right.
And it's just a different sound. And I've always enjoyed that. And now, so many years later, you kind of get it more, because then when you learn the history and there's so many things, like, but when it first just hit you, it just hit you.
Yeah.
And that was it.
Yeah.
So I don't really remember. I think it might've been my brother, who's 4 years older than I.
Shout out to your brother. Thank you, brother.
but I can't really place it. I just know it became immediately important in my life.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
But, you just hear something and you're just like, yep, that makes sense.
No, I mean, I think that's the story for a lot of people, is in the 90s or even in the early 2000s, they were a band that did sound different than a lot of most of the music that was being put out at that time. And so, you know, I think it just kind of caught our ears because of the different
intonation,
ways they were.
Like the intonation of the music. It was just the timing, the rhythm. It was so something that, like, when Nirvana and all of that was coming out so much. And obviously, I love that, Red Hot Chili Peppers. But it was, but there was just something that catches your ear. And it just makes it, and I've been to a Grateful Dead concert when I was 17, but it was different than that kind of jam band. It was just something that was just, what is this?
Right, right. Because it is the music and even maybe like the aesthetic of the band at the time that kind of hooks you. But then your ears start to really kind of digest in your brain, like what it is that they're saying. And while they do have like a lot of whimsical, fun songs, for the most part, I think that their songs, as far as the lyrics go, can be really intensely deep if you deep dive into those lyrics. And so, you know, you talked about Crash, but, you know, fast forward to now. And, you know, obviously we've had this band for 33 years. Not all of us have been into them for 33 years, but, you know, what does your fanship look like now? And I know that, you know, one of the things that hooked me to you in wanting to hear your story is that you had a significant experience at the Gorge, which I think you said was your very first time to go. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I made it a bucket list and I was just like, I'm doing this, and I did it. And I'm from what I understand from what other people say, it was an exceptional experience at the Gorge of 2023. I can't imagine it being any different because I don't have a first, but apparently, I mean, the very first notes that happened, I wrote something else about that. The very first notes. And like I said, I don't partake in I don't do like any kind of anything.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I literally stood there and I said, I literally stood in that space saying, what is going on? This is, and I'd watched documentaries. I watched a lot of musical, like musicians love that area. And I've been to an amphitheater, but man-made, but I had never been to that kind of natural setting before. And the very first note, I looked at a friend of mine standing next to me and I said, even though I traveled solo, a friend of mine lived in Seattle and he went with me, and I just looked at him, and he was not a Dave Matthews fan at all. He didn't even know a song from them hardly. And I looked at him and I was like, and he weirdly, the weird experience I wrote about that as well is even though he didn't know the song or the catalog or anything, he knew the songs by the end of every song during that trip. Like it was like, it was magical.
Wow.
It was life-changing. I just looked at him. I was like, what is going on? Because the very first notes in at the Gorge were, when people say it's life-changing, I was like, oh, come on. It can't be that much. And then you get 3 nights of what happened there. I was just like, this can't be the same band I see in Charleston, South Carolina, or Raleigh, or Charlotte, or Savannah, or Greenville. It was completely life-changing, and it's made me kind of that fan that everybody else is now. After so many years, I'm like, I will chase that for the rest, like until they stop or I stop.
Right, because it's a feeling. They give us a feeling, right?
Yeah.
And they have their music and the lyrics, and honestly, the community around the band have the ability to change lives. I mean, they are doing it every day, and I've collected the stories. So, you know, I know that you, along with a lot of us, you know, I think that anxiety, depression, I think that it, first of all, I want to say that those things are very common, but the way that they are manifested in each person is very different, right? Like we all, respond to it differently. We all have different, things that it does to us, whether that's, you know, negative or positive. And so, you know, I know that going into the Gorge, before that you had just written some words.
Yeah.
And I know that you spent a lot of time in the car listening to the music. So let's talk about that. And I definitely want for you to share kind of your voyage in words, because I know that you had kind of some pre-written words and then post-written after the Gorge. So let's talk about kind of how they've changed your thought process and what, how you put that into words.
So whether if you'd like me to read the post or, but before, like, I never understood, and I, you know, I'm educated in post-traumatic stress disorder, things like that. I started to notice it Charleston 2 years ago when it's the AB, I always call it She Said, it's like the war cry, and he's been singing that a lot on tour, where it changed with me. That is one that I didn't realize how much anxiety that I was sitting in by myself in my car for a few years. Mm-hmm. And you think that you're being still and just listening to the music because you enjoy the music and you think, oh, okay. Like, I'm okay because I'm just like decompressing or whatever. But what it was really was, now that I've learned, were silent anxiety attacks. I was having when you're frozen and you're listening to your favorite band, which is Dave Matthews for me. And you don't realize that it's they're not freezing you. It's just you don't know how to do your emotions. So if you're dealing with depression or anxiety or post-traumatic stress disorder, when you freeze and you think you're having these concert sessions in your car and you think, oh, I'm just decompressing, what I've learned is I wasn't. I was actually having anxiety attacks. So what I've learned about myself was, even though the lyrics mean and shift, I wasn't really understanding what it was meaning to my life other than just being frozen, whether it be from whoever is out there, depression, anxiety, post-traumatic stress disorder, just your life in general. Sometimes when you freeze, I did not know. I just thought I was being calm. I wasn't. I was actually having massive anxiety attacks by freezing. And Dave Matthews was there for me. The lyrics of this, that, all of it. And, you know, some of them may be driving a little bit more of the anxiety, maybe not, maybe making me cry, maybe doing this, but I was having massive anxiety attacks that I wasn't recognizing until when I went to the Gorge. And having had a lot of separation from an understanding a little bit more about depression, anxiety, post-traumatic stress disorder, from a very specific thing, it's, I didn't know what I thought I was doing was enjoying my time in my car, which I was still enjoying the music 90%. I didn't realize those moments were actually wailing, silent anxiety attacks. Wow. And when I went to the Gorge, I did a lot of work before I wrote the post to you. I, you know, had some separation from it all and started to work through when I was just like, oh, wait. This isn't just me just enjoying music. This is me actually getting through anxiety with music, if that makes sense.
No, it totally does.
So, when I went to the Gorge, it was absolutely life-changing for me. It was a release. It was something that is spiritual. And I'm not a religious person, but I'm very spiritual. But that is what I wrote to you about, is just, I had no idea to that point how much I've enjoyed the band, but it's been like the soundtrack of a lot of beautiful lyrics, beautiful drum beats, so many good things and so many good memories, but it's shifted so many times in my life that I didn't realize I was using it as a crutch to get me through those massive silent anxiety attacks, because it was a comfort.
We'll be back after a quick break.
Hey guys, thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Space Between podcast. If you've been listening to this podcast and you just interjected and said, hey, what about this? Or does she know this? I have an opportunity for you. I now have a new Google voicemail that you can call and leave interesting information, fan information about the Dave Matthews Band. So if you have trivia, tips, ticket tips, please call my Google voicemail. It's simply 479-259-1630. I'd love to even have a shout out to your group, to your friends, to other fans of the Dave Matthews Band for a chance to be spotlighted on an upcoming episode of the Space Between podcast. So again, 479-259-1630. And let's go back into this episode. Thank you so much for listening.
So what was it, you know, that kind of led you? So once you identify that you are having these massive panic attacks, and that's how it's manifested in you, is to be still and quiet while you're listening to the music. How did you recognize, like, how did you figure that out? And then what set you free from that at the Gorge?
What made me recognize it is, weirdly, I can't even remember the article I read. It was something probably music, whatever. It was just when you sit still and you're that calm and you're that frozen, that everybody thinks an anxiety attack is the heartbeat, the things that you kind of read a lot online or wherever you get your information from. I'm actually kind of educated in this stuff. I had no idea, like, the frozen state was an anxiety attack. And I don't know when it clicked for me that that's what I was doing. So I started to realize, and it's been, it was right before the, like sometime 2022, post-COVID, that I realized I was doing this where I'm coaching everybody else through theirs. I didn't realize I was doing it myself, but in a very super quiet way. And I'm thinking, oh, if I just listen to music, I'll be fine.
Right.
And truth, I mean, it will heal a lot of things, but that's when I said, okay, I don't know what I'm doing here, but I know that I have to shift my thought process because these are anxiety attacks, and it's the sitting so still. And I just decided I don't know. I just woke up and said, I'm going to get to the gorge. I'm going to do this. I'm not going to just do, this Southeastern circuit that happens. I'm going to do one thing that I said I'm going to do. I'm afraid to fly. I'm no longer afraid to fly.
I flew across.
I was terrified to fly. And I was just like, no, this is how you get there. This is what you do because you have to break this cycle.
Yeah.
And at the gorge, I don't know, just getting there, it was honestly
that's a whole different story, right?
Yeah,
getting there.
I just decided it, and I was just like, I'm doing this. And honestly, the plane ride out was one of the most terrifying ones. There's a picture of it was literally people being, the captain said, from Charleston straight to Seattle, it's going to be a rough ride the last hour, and she wasn't kidding. It was, and I actually literally said to myself, just don't let the plane go down. Just let it go down when I come back from my bucket list. My kids are going to be so mad at me if we go down before. It was a bad one. I'm not exaggerating. It was but the weird thing is I had a release. I was I have no control over this anymore.
Yeah. It's so hard to let go. It's so hard to let go.
I just let go of anxiety. I'm not afraid to fly. I'm flying next week. When I got to the gorge, it was just a community. And I went to the Grateful Dead when I was 17. I drove my friends there. I was not a deadhead. I just was like, yeah, I'll drive us, whatever. Chicago in 91. But I remember feeling the sense of community when I walked into the parking lot. And I didn't understand it because I wasn't a fan of their music. My friends became fans, and I was just like, sure, I'll drive, whatever. And when I walked into the gorge, I've been to many shows. It's just walking on the grounds, and just everybody comes there for one reason, and everybody's kind.
Yeah.
And I lived my life with kindness, and I had a hard time doing that. And it was just a release of, you know what, the anxiety is, I mean, we all have anxiety still, but it was a realization that everything that I thought I was doing with the band, with them being my background, my soundtrack to my life, was such a part of my getting through. And when I went to the gorge, it was about joy.
Yeah.
And I went to Savannah and Greenville after that. I just, everything changed of understanding the lyrics differently, knowing that it doesn't have to be so rooted in that.
Yeah.
And they were there for me during that time, but it was just, when I went to the gorge, it was just life-changing. And I read about it. People posted about it when I was doing my research to get out there. I was like, oh, BS. We're all grown-ups. No, it's true.
Yeah.
It's true. It's so true. it's
wild.
It's everybody coming in. You know, you got some people in the crowd that's not that amazing.
Of course.
Honestly, Charleston's not my favorite place to watch them. It didn't make me that sad that they skipped it this year. because it's a lot of people taking selfies and doing their thing and whatever. The true fans, we went to the gorge, and it is the true fans. It is literally moving miles and doing schedules. And mine was a little easy, but Nick, this year I'm going to camp because I don't want to miss any minute of anybody who's still there for the same reason we're all there for.
Exactly.
What's next? Yeah.
Yeah. That's one thing that is true about the Gorge is there's not a lot of people there that don't want to be there. And the reason why I know that is because it is such a voyage to get there, right? Like, you don't just accidentally go to the Gorge. Like, it's very, like, you have to plan it. It has to be, you know, like a very scheduled thing.
I came back smiling so much, and like, not that it released me from some anxiety, but I realized in that moment when I was there how much that band has meant and gotten me through so many things. The lyrics, how they do shift, how they are like I got Samurai Cop in Greenville when I'm about ready to be a grandmother. And I was like, that became on my radar. And I was like, there's a man next to me because I was in Pitt, and he like, not because we all exchanged, what's your chase? That right. is like that's the fan base is what's your chase? What do you yes. want? Like, I can't remember. I think it was Night 2. And it was Say Goodbye. They teased with it, I think, Night 2 in the Gorge 2023. I could be wrong. I'm almost positive. And the woman behind me lost her mind and started crying. And I was like, wow, I know this is so special. And I was so happy for her. And they kind of teased with it, and they left it. Oh. And so, like I watched people when I did the fall tour, like, just watching the fans, like, we exchanged. I was like, oh joy, I'm going to be a grandmother in April, like my first. And that has just changed everything. I found out I was going to be a grandmother when I was at the Gorge as well. So,
oh my God, what a great thing to find out. Yeah. Congratulations.
Yes. So I was literally like, I can't wait. And I was like weirdly distracted. And the man next to me, whom I just met, and we had like a bunch of singles around, like people who had their chases, and he was like, yeah, getting it. And the next day, posted on the Greenville site, like, I got my chase, because I'm chasing Dreaming Tree as well. And he was like, somebody was like, another person in that group said, I watched you cry tears of joy. And that's the thing, that, and the emotion, like, you can't even help it. It's not like you're boohooing. It's just tears coming out of your face, because those songs mean so much to you.
It's true. It's like literally everyone's, you know, whatever they're carrying at that moment, it's a great place to just kind of drop it for a little bit, right? Like, we may pick it up again later because that's life. But for those moments, for those hours, or for those days, it is a place where you can just really kind of drop it, and you feel such a sense of
community,
weightlessness, right? And community and freedom and love and acceptance. And so it's just, it can be addictive, right? That feeling.
Oh yeah.
And I think that's what keeps people going back. Of course it's the music, but also the atmosphere around the music, the fans around the music. Like, it's really just such a combination. And so, you know, I know I asked you before we started recording, I'd love for you to share some of the words that you jotted down, just to kind of help our listeners understand where you were when you were thinking, about, you know, where you were in your life and how you put that into words.
So did you want me to just read what I sent to you?
Yeah, just okay. I said just read it. Yeah.
Okay. So this was October after the Gorge, and it was in Graham Rain in South Carolina. I'm a beach girl. Anyways, so I will just start. Charleston, South Carolina has been rain and gray for the last 2 days. The spring's on car concert sessions after work. The noticeable shorter daylight drives the quiet time into my car. Some may call these sessions silent anxiety attacks, because if you sit still and can't move, I've had these moments. Or do you sit still because you don't want to move? Who knows? I now call my time in the car listening to Live Dave Matthews Band, Reflection. Truthfully, before the Gorge, they were silent anxiety attacks. Now, listening, taking my day in, smiling at the lyrics, crying to lyrics, thinking about my next tattoo-inspired lyrics, drumming my heart out, trying to figure it out. My life, my kids' best interest, you and me as humans, little feet, little hands, little baby, so much to say. Before the Gorge, and many years, I sat in my car frozen, listening to Dave, all the songs, in silent anxiety. When shit was hitting my fan, don't get me wrong, 90% of my Dave listening brings me joy, but we all know the songs can hit you differently at hard times in your life and shift through your life. Post-Gorge, it was life-changing. My car concert sessions, sitting listening to the band, is different.
I'm not frozen while I listen in my car during my silent anxiety attacks. I'm jamming through them. The Gorge was life-changing. It was a life-changing experience. I just wanted to share. Mm. That's it. So
I love that. I love that. And I think a lot of people will be able to identify that, you know, not maybe.
I've never read that out loud. So.
Well, I mean, I can't thank you enough for sharing that, because it really does kind of paint a picture of where you were, but also it paints a very clear picture of the freedom that you were able to obtain, right? Just a little bit of freedom from that anxiety and how it changed you. And I don't, you know, I don't think that there's any way you could have expected that, right? I mean, was it a surprise to you?
Okay, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know if it's going to be edited out. I kind of was like, I mean, I've been to a lot of concerts, not just Dave, but a lot. I was just like, this is a bucket list. I'm going to do it, because I set my goals after having, you know, a rough couple of years. And I was like, I'm setting my goals. I'm back on track. I've always said I wanted to do it. I kind of, honestly, I'm not going to lie to you, Nate. I thought it was BS. I did. I was just like, there's no way. I actually was flying across country going 3 days of Dave in a row. I'm not a festival person. I don't like, I literally was kind of like, what am I doing? I'm taking off work. Like, honestly, I had these weird doubts. I was just like, it can't be that. Come on, man. Like, even though I got on to like all of the, like, I didn't know the fan base, which that's what, and I had this thing of like, what am I doing? Like, come on. Always visits the Southeast. What are you doing? And I had these doubts, because I was afraid to fly, all this stuff. It was immediately life-changing. I can't explain it other than I had no idea that getting on the grounds, how beautiful it is, knowing it's naturally made. I was just, everybody says they cry when they go over the crest and they see it. I didn't. I was in awe of it. I was kind of like, okay. I wasn't ready for the sound, the way the musical notes. And I wrote something else on something like right afterwards going like, this is not BS. Like, this is not to say Dave Matthews, I love, absolute fan. But I was like, why am I doing this? Like, what am I doing?
Of course. And then, it sounds crazy.
It sounds crazy. You know, and I literally was like, but I said I'm going to do it, so I'm going to do it. And when it just happened, I was just like, nobody is lying about this. This is crazy. You don't have to be on drugs. You don't have to be this. You don't have to be coming in. Like, it is one of the most magical places I've ever been to. Yeah. And it is, if that doesn't change you or soften your heart or make you kinder, I don't know who you are.
Yeah.
I don't really actually want to know who you are. But I literally, since then, I'm just like, I will do every show solo, unless you're going to be on board. Like, I went to Savannah and Greenville, like, met with people beforehand. I did not realize the fan base until you go there. And then you just realize that kindness exists so many places.
Yes. Yes. I mean, you're speaking my language, and obviously I enough to the point where I created a podcast simply just to talk about the fans around this band, because it is noteworthy to talk about the people that are following this band and the vibes that they're able to, you know, just kind of put out into the world, and people are picking up on it, right? Like, what a time to receive kindness. What a time to receive unsolicited love and just, you know, complete acceptance for whoever and whatever and wherever you are.
And I have been that person my whole life. Like, I have never sought out to hurt any, like, I just can't even imagine trying to hurt somebody. Of course, we've all hurt people in our past, but like, I literally live my life of going, this is kindness. And until you actually realize what goes on with a fan base, like, you don't understand how kind, like, they may go out into their regular lives and not be so amazing after the Gorge or whatever. I don't know.
We all have our moments.
But it only solidified why I love this band, because it really does. Like, everything really does, whether it be, you know, Don't Drink the Water is written from the antagonistic point of view, but it also comes from the idea of how do we not hurt people? What do we do? Like, it's one of those things of the band and how many 30 years plus, like besides a couple of little things, they all live their life with integrity and kindness and great music. And it's just, if that's not something to follow, then what else are you doing? I mean,
exactly.
I don't even know. Like, I always say to people who, you know, you get those frowns when you're like, I'm a big Dave. I mean, I have a tattoo. I mean, a lot of us do.
Yeah, me too.
But like, it's, when you say that, you almost feel like this, like, huh? But like, I always say to people when they're like, oh, you like Dave? And I'm like, yeah, I do actually. I have no shame in that. But it's like, if anybody, I was like, you don't even have to like the music, but if you would just, if you like Bob Dylan, Bob Dylan is a great poet. I don't like his music. Not going to lie to you. Don't like Bob Dylan songs. But if you read the lyrics, that's everything. Mm-hmm. And for me, I just say to people who are kind of naysayers, I'm just saying, if you haven't seen him live, try it. Because, I mean, I've been turned on by live music that I never thought I'd like by going to a concert. I said, but if you're somebody who cares about words, listen to, like, read the words.
Right. They'll speak for themselves. And I have met people time and time again who are, when they find themselves with someone that's never been exposed to the band, because, you know, obviously not everyone has met the band or heard of the band and things like that. And so the way that I hear people introduce the band to other people is through the lyrics, right? Because they know that, because that will get to you, right? Like, look what they're saying. And I think that their music stays so relevant, whether you're in 1991, 2005, you know, whatever year you're in, they were producing music that was just relevant for the time, but also relevant for the future, right? Like, it's
right.
Timeless music that really, it's changing lives. It's saving lives. And look what it's done for you. I mean, wow. Yeah.
But don't you think it's becoming more relevant now? I think there are more Dave fans now more than ever because they keep on being relevant. They keep on putting out new, and like all the naysayers about like last album, it's like, no, How They Rock It Out live every single time. They change it every time. They keep you interested, but they're not doing it to manipulate you. They're doing it because they want to inspire still. Right. And that is the, it's not just, you know, some studio album, and I like, there's so many great artists out there, but like, don't just put up the same performance every night. And it's not to catch us. It's not to make them more money. They still are very modest in their earnings. It's just literally because they're making it, they found a great group of guys who still get along, but also every single time it's a different tone, it's a different beat, it's a little something. And what I loved about going to the Gorge this year is with somebody who was a newbie, I was just like, it was like hearing their songs for the first time because they changed it every single time. And it was just like, wait, I've heard this song, you know, so many times. And it's, and now it makes me, made me revisit their albums. Like, I'm now buying their albums because I was like, if you listen to the production of that, there's so many intricate things, like Ihi, like I just noticed that song again, and their studio on that is gorgeously produced.
It's amazing.
It's so good. So it's just, it's the things that how it changes and how your life changes with it. And it, they always seem to evolve. If you're a fan and you pay attention, it can be not necessarily life-saving. I was never that way. It was just anxiety and like, how it changes and how you can have one song mean something in your 20s. And now I'm turning 50 in March. Like, it is literally like how they've kept it so intricate that the lyrics resonate all the time if you pay attention.
Yeah.
And how Carter is still doing what he does at his
how
age.
The hell?
Crazy. Crazy. Makes
doing it.
Right? So, like, it's just, like, you know, and everybody, like, the new tour just came out, and people were like, oh, it's shorter. I mean, I don't, I'm 65. I can't even imagine. Right. He's one of the, arguably one of the best drummers in the world, and he still keeps the pace.
It's amazing that they're still even touring, right? So I'm just thrilled to death that they release tour dates, because at some point, that's going to stop. And so I feel like as long as they're willing and able to do it, we have got to capture these moments because it will be over one day. It will be over.
We don't want to talk about it, but but it's the truth. Like there's one day and it will be one of those days. Like I have a very good friend of mine who's a huge Dave fan in town as well. And I was just like, if ever I hear like the news, like I can't even Prince when he passed. That was a big one. I'm going to have to leave work. I got to go.
I totally understand. I say often and not in a joking tone that there will need to be Dave Matthews Band support groups, like legitimately for the people that have invested so much time and so much of their emotion into the band. When it's no longer, what do we do with those feelings? We always have the music, but there will be a hole in our lives. And what do we do with that time? What do we do with that space? Right. It's the space between. Look what I did there.
What did you just do?
Hey, every once in a while, I have a smart thought.
we're all pretty witty there. That is a good way to wrap that up.
Thank you.
Oh, good Lord. So where are you touring?
I'm going to, it's all penciled in, but you never really know what's going to happen. But I'm going to plan to be at the opener in Florida. I've never been before to
Tampa,
Florida. Yeah.
I put in for that. We'll see. It's only, and then
we'll see.
I put in for Jacksonville two nights. We'll see.
Oh, I know. If you end up going there, let me know. I've got some really good friends that will be having some parties and stuff and, you know, some family meetups and stuff. So I'll definitely get you connected. But I'm just so excited to see them in general. There's never a disappointing tour to me. I'm just thrilled that they're on the road. I'm thrilled that I get to see them. I'm thrilled that I get to travel to see all of these people that I've built relationships with. And I mean, I'm just in cloud nine and I'm just kind of like what you said earlier. I'm not thinking about the future. I'm thinking about, because what does he say? The future is no place.
Future is no place to put your better days.
So exactly. Right. Like we can't concentrate on too much about the future, but we can think about the past and we can think about the present. And it sounds like, you know, you have found yourself in a really great space for 2024 because of 2023, right? Like each year we become better people. And a lot of that has to do with the way we've been able to kind of take care of our mental health. And music is one of those tools that help people. Yeah. And it sounds like it really did help you. And I'm so thankful that you were willing to share this, because I don't think that you have shared in this alone. I think that this is, especially going out of COVID and so many people, so many people going through some really intense things that, you know, I think that your story is going to help other people to realize what is continuing to be done through this music, through this fan base, and that their story is not crazy, right? Like this music heals, music saves, and I will forever preach that.
I still have the anxiety attacks, but it's different now. It changed. It is, instead of sometimes you dwell on lyrics, then it becomes uplifting if you can actually hear them differently.
Yeah, it does.
And it just, and The Gorge was life-changing for me in the way of, I've never felt that much joy. Like, and I'm actually a really joyous person. I had a really rough few years where it's extenuating circumstances, but like, it just made me realize that's what life's about. It is the humanity. It is bringing people together. And that's all the band really does. I mean, Dave's more vocal, of course, about it, but it's bringing it all together and then realizing every single person in that, 28,000 crowd is they're hearing it and seeing it and crying in different ways and enjoying and dancing and, whatever they do. Like, it's just all love.
And that is awesome. One of the most life-changing experiences I've ever had in my life was just like, whoa.
Wow.
It was just, it was phenomenal. And it doesn't have to happen in the Gorge. It can happen at any concert. It can happen in your car.
That's right.
So
that's right. And I know that it has for people. It has for me, you know, those moments where we're driving down the road and, you know, whatever comes on and you weren't prepared for it, but it's like it fell in your lap at the right time. And those were the words you needed to hear at that exact moment to kind of break through whatever, break free. I'm gonna see how many lyrics and titles I can like spill out on this podcast, but you know, to break free, right? Like there are moments that we find ourselves in the middle of a song and we go, holy shit, I've heard this song 1,000 times, 100 times, whatever. And it never has done what it just did.
Oh yeah. I mean, she said, I would call it, she said, I don't call it American. Like I don't call it that intro. It's like, she said, like, it's a war cry. I read an article where it came from, and I can't remember. I wish I noted it. It was about a Syrian refugee, a woman who he met, and he said, she said 1,000 times, she said, 100 times I said this was going to happen. That's where that song comes from. Mm. And I can't quote it, so you can't quote me on that. But when everybody's like, it's so sad. No, it's a war cry. And when he sings it, it's a war cry. It's because she said it was happened 100 times, 1,000 times. And it was in a Syrian refugee camp.
Wow.
And that's the thing that strikes me about that. And I wish I used to go down rabbit holes of like looking up like stuff in the springtime of Dave Matthews stuff. And I wish I could quote that. And I don't know if he would ever, because he's always very ambiguous about what does it mean to you now.
Yes.
But I know I read that. And I was like, it's a war cry of whatever you're going through. Like, so when everybody came on so popular on tour this year, and because it's so passionate, it's so beautiful. But like that song has changed for me over years. Like for me in my abusive relationship, I used to listen to it and it made me so sad, because I'd be like, oh, I said it 100 times, never again. I said it 1,000 times, never again. And then when I heard it in Charleston 2 years ago, I cried because I realized I was released from it.
Yeah.
And I now say, she said 100 times, never again.
Yes.
So like, there's so many passionate things about that. And so like, it's one of those things, that's how the lyrics change. And that's how they can uplift you and sometimes bring you down, or like get you in a place where you're just like, fuck, excuse my language, fuck, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
But then it's also could be very empowering of, fuck, what am I going to do? What am I going to do about this feeling?
I think those what the fuck moments are important sometimes.
Yeah.
Right? Maybe a time to just be like, okay, wait a second. You need to shake things up. You need to do things differently, right? Like the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting different outcomes. And so sometimes we have to have those oh fuck moments so that we can break free from the insanity, right? Like, because we put ourselves in that often without even knowing it, right?
And you're just like, wait, what? And then sometimes all it takes is a song.
Yeah.
So
it takes sometimes. And what a powerful thing. And what a free thing, right? Like music is something that is accessible for most people, I would like to say, for free. And so what a tool, what a tool, what a powerful tool. And I'm just so thankful that we've all found it. And I'm thankful that you have found it. And I'm just so thankful that you were willing to come on the show this week and share your thoughts.
Thanks for sharing that with me.
Yes, I love your story so, so much. And again, this is the reason why I'm doing what I'm doing, is for stories just like yours, because your life deserves, your experience with this band deserves to be documented, because it changed you. It literally changed the trajectory of your life. And that is a very important story in your timeline of your life. And so I'm just so thankful. I'm so thankful. And so we'll definitely have to catch up in the next year or so and just see how this story has continued, because of course we have a lot ahead of us when it comes to this band. And so we're going to keep riding this smooth rider. Hey, there's another one, for as long as we can, right?
Phenomenal.
Look at me pulling all this out.
Look at you, girl.
Well, Breezy, I cannot say thank you enough for spending some of your time with us tonight. If you guys are listening to this and you're like, you know what, how does she get her guest on the show? honestly, it's just a quick message to me, whether it's Facebook, Instagram, email me, which is just simply kissonthelipsmeyer@gmail.com. You can email me and say, hey, I'd love to share my journey with the Dave Matthews Band. And it really is just that easy. So definitely message me. And if you guys want to see what is upcoming, be sure to check us out on all the socials, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, all of the things where we have a post that says, you know, who's coming up when. And we have a lot of really cool guests that are coming up. I mean, every week, it's an amazing story. It's a life-changing story. And so, Breezy, again, thank you so much for being on the show. I really appreciate it.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for your time.
Oh, my God, yes. And guys, into the meantime, I send all of you peace, love, and Dave Matthews Band. Until the next time, guys, peace out.